Welcome to a land of magical ales. Welcome to a universe of booze galore. Welcome to a world of capes and cocktails. Welcome to liquor and lore.
Here's why you can't exterminate us, are you, Eddie? We're not huddled in one place. We span the galaxy. We need no lords or leaders, so you can't destroy our command. We can live without technology, so we can fight with our bare hands. We have no species or bloodline, so we can rebuild our ranks with others who want to join us. We're more than just a people or an army, are you, Eddie? We're a culture. We're an idea. And you can't kill ideas, but we certainly can kill you. Rana Te Nast, a.k.a. Mandalore the Destroyer.
Whew. Wow.
I can't believe I got those names on the first try.
Yeah, a little rhyme in there at one point.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But if, I mean, Mandalorians, they're poets, I guess? I don't know.
They didn't even know poets?
Yeah. Stick with Arwedi. For those of you who didn't know, Chad was saying Arwedi about six to seven times before saying the whole quote.
It's a tough
word. Arwedi.
Arwedi.
The funny part is, I don't even know if I told him if that's the correct way to say it. But gather round.
Woo-hoo!
Episode 3, first episode of the new year.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about
Mandalorians.
And this is Liquor and Lore.
Sorry, it's been a while since we did an episode. I can't remember how to do an intro.
We're out of practice here.
Yeah, we got to drink more, apparently. But yeah, a little quick note on this episode. Like, things are kind of crazy right now. So I think all of us here at Liquor and Lore hope that the people that are listening, I hope that this kind of takes you away from all the ridiculousness and you can just enjoy an hour, hour and a half of three idiots getting drunk and talking about Star Wars.
And then we're going to storm the Capitol.
And that too.
Yeah.
Like the stormtroopers did at Coruscant, right?
Sure.
So we're going to get started with some questions from the last episode. We were talking about
Are these questions, do we have people writing in and asking these questions,
or are these
things that you come up with?
No, these are like questions that we had ourselves in the last episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We didn't know what a ghoul was.
Yeah, we don't have enough people listening yet to write in questions.
Oh man, if you're listening right now, please email us some questions.
Yeah, liquor@lore.gmail.com. Or just email to say hi. I don't care, whatever you want.
I don't really want to talk to him.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
But anyway, so we were wondering what a ghoul was last episode. A ghoul is a demon-like being or monstrous humanoid originating in pre-Islamic Arabian religion, which I didn't know.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
They're associated with graveyards and consuming human flesh. In modern fiction, the term has been used for a certain kind of undead monster, so like a zombie, kind of like what we were talking about. But also, grave diggers at one point were also called ghouls.
Oh.
So.
Man. That's,
have you guys,
like, my definition.
Yeah.
Have either of you guys driven around down by my new house? It's just, there's graveyards
everywhere.
Graveyards everywhere down here. You just noticed that?
I have not heard of graveyards around your house.
Oh my God. Look
usually
at
just, like, in your house, behind your house, like,
I sit on the door sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I got my new Ring doorbell, so I'll be peeking on you.
Joke's on you. You can't see me on that thing.
I'm going to wave to you.
Anyway. I'm saying there's a lot of graveyards down here. It's crazy.
Any ghouls that you've seen so far?
I don't know. So the closest park to me that I can walk to that has like a bike trail that connects to like whatever. The park is just an old graveyard. They just said is now a park, but there's still just gravestones everywhere.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know if you can just do that.
It's kind of neat. No, it says what it says. It's like a repurposed, like, there's not like a lot of gravestones.
You can definitely do it, but like, it's kind of weird to be like, hey, let's just take down some of these tombstones and put a park here.
So now that it's a park.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't think they took them all down. I think like a lot of the tombstones just got like lost to time, but there's like some big ones. Now it's a park, so it's like, you don't know like where the bodies are. Like, you could be like having a picnic over on top of some like, you know, some dude. But it's just found me.
With a shovel, we could find out pretty quickly.
That sounds like a place. They should do like a Halloween park.
We should have a Halloween party out there next year. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Seance.
Yeah. Anything kind of creepy. Yeah. I mean, it kind of makes sense, so. But yeah.
I'll just become a ghoul.
Yeah. I feel like you've kind of been on that path for a while now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. It's all been leading here to this.
You've been towing the ghoul line for a while.
Yeah, so yeah, you're right. I guess that in some way, this is what I've wanted. This is what I've been working for.
You bought a house surrounded by graveyards. It feels like you did that kind of unconsciously. What am I thinking of? Is that the right word?
Oh, man, I can't think of the word now. Subconsciously.
Subconsciously.
Cool. But yeah, moving on to the next thing. So this is actually a correction from the last episode. We talked about the Martells and where their emblem came from, and I said that the spear came from the Rhoynar side of thing, and the sun came from the Martell side of things. But apparently, it's actually switched.
Oh,
so that's just a little correction. Like I said, we don't have enough people listening to this; they can get mad about that shit yet. So like, but yeah, that's a little bit of a correction.
I mean, honestly, Sam, I'm horribly disappointed in your research. Like, having
we
to
might as well
correction.
Cancel the whole
That's
thing.
What I'm saying. At this point, what's the point of this podcast? I can't trust anything you say.
You know, I got nothing. I'm a failure. What can I say?
Yeah, it's all right. You are. It's okay.
I want to do a shout out. Can I do a shout out?
Yeah.
I want to shout out to Jade for making us Liquor and Lore t-shirts for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
My God, they were so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So thank you, Jade, if you're listening, for the t-shirt.
Yeah,
everyone else, you know, if you want, you can please send us your gifts.
yeah, we're not going to say no.
I was going to go the other direction. If people actually start listening to this, we'll start selling that shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that too. Yeah. If you're interested in buying a Liquor and Lore shirt, just let us know.
Yeah. I'll post it on, social media, along with this episode.
Nice.
Let us know if you want a t-shirt. Jade will make it for you.
By hand.
Yep. Jade will make them.
She stitches them herself.
Yes. Down in the basement with the ghouls.
Yeah. She is a ghoul.
Oh. Uh-oh, Sam.
Anyways. Moving on to some news. We were talking about this earlier. There was a lot of news that happened over like the 2 or 3 months that we didn't do an episode, which of course that would happen when we're not doing an episode.
Right.
So
a lot of news.
Like a ton of news.
We're back from a holiday break.
True. Yes. We did take a holiday break, which, you know, it happens, but there was a ton of news. So I kind of just picked a couple of things. I understand there's a lot of news, but we picked a couple of things. One of my favorite things that happened, The Expanse got renewed for a final season 6. I'm bummed that it's gonna be over, but it's renewed for season 6. You guys haven't watched that yet, right?
I have started watching it. I'm in season 2.
What do you think?
I still have only seen the first episode, but I gotta watch it.
Yeah, you're still stuck on SpaceX.
Yeah, I'm still on the, yeah, exactly.
I like it, but I've been reading the books as well, and I'm in the middle of book 4 right now, and the books are just way better.
Yeah.
I like them so much more. Like, the show's cool and everything, but with it starting on, the Sci-Fi Channel, like, it has a certain amount of, like,
there's
cheesy corniness
yes,
to it that
absolutely.
I have a hard time getting behind. But as far as I can tell, moving on with it, it gets just better.
I think that was my
excited to see that.
Yeah. I gotta stick it out, because, I mean, I definitely liked the first episode, but yeah, I was just, like, rolling my eyes a lot at, like, just how, like, cheesy, like, the...
Right.
The character... A lot of the characters were. Like, you had, like, these, like, macho, like, kind of, like, space dudes, and you have, like, the guy with the fedora who's, like, a... Like,
the
a
detective
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it just seems, like... It seems very Sci-Fi Channel, which I guess has been... Which is where it was filmed, but... Yeah.
And
I mean,
yeah,
I want to keep watching.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And that, I mean, when I first watched it, that took me a little bit to get over, but it's one of my favorite shows. It's very, very good.
The books I've been flying through. The books are so good, especially if you kind of like science. Like, it's not like they're digging deep down into like space science and everything like that, but it seems like they do their research enough to where when they're talking about how like their ships are approaching planets or other ships and stuff like that. It's not like, oh they just magically slow down. Like,
the science is so cool.
Yeah, stuff they have to like flip their ship around and do like a stopping burn so that they aren't just flying at this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really cool how realistic they try to make
Speaking of the books, shout out to Kiefer Sutherland. He got me them for Christmas.
That was Santa, man. I didn't do that.
But yeah, they're like one of the parts I really like, because I just started reading them myself. And one of the parts I loved about the books is there's actually a point where they're talking about the ships when they're docking. They're like, they're not actually completely stopped. They're just moving at a slow enough speed that they can actually come together. And I was like, that's crazy. But yeah, the science part of it is one of the coolest things about it.
Like, and the story is really cool. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I suggest the books. And that got me more interested in the TV show once I read the books.
Yeah, that makes sense. One of the biggest parts, I think for the year, is HBO Max will be playing, any movie that is released in theaters will be released on HBO Max that's done by Warner Brothers the same day, starting with Wonder Woman, which it was a movie.
It was a movie.
It was a movie.
I have not seen it, but I've heard bad things.
Yeah. We don't need to take, I don't think we need to even spend the time.
No, it's nothing to write home about. That explains it fine.
Yeah.
Right. Moving on.
Yeah. But the biggest, most exciting part of that, which Marty, you brought up when we talked about this, was Dune will be available on streaming, which is very exciting.
But okay. This is all what I heard. I have not researched this at all. I just overheard someone talking about this. They were saying that, first off, this Dune movie isn't the whole first book. It's the first half of the first book.
Wow.
Secondly, I heard from this person that someone, either the director of Dune or whatever, was saying that they likely won't be making the second part because it's not going to theaters. It's not going to make enough money to do the second part.
What? What the hell's going on?
I don't know if any of that is true. That's just what I heard someone saying in like this group chat I'm in. And that would be so ridiculous, because you would just get the first half of an unfinished story.
Well, hopefully.
And you would never see the
end of
it.
There's no way.
They can't do that.
Like, they would have to be able to get funding for a second half.
I think so. I feel like there's so much hype around this movie that it's going to be fine. I don't know. It's probably whatever.
I mean, I don't know. Because Wonder Woman, like, a ton of people stream that movie day of. Like, so many people stream that movie that it got greenlit for a Wonder Woman 3, even though it was terrible. But so many people watched it, they already are planning for a part 3. So I'd find it really hard to believe that they would, like, not.
Yeah, it's probably fine. I'm just going to figure this out really quick. You guys keep talking about our stuff you want. I'm just going to look at stuff later.
Well, plus, Warner Brothers also is coming out with a show, like, the Sisterhood of Dune, I think is what it's going to be. So, like, they have plans to, like, get into the universe. So that would be pretty wild if they did that. But I don't know. We don't get paid to make those decisions.
All I was able to find out is that, yes, the movies will be split in half. So the book will be split in half, I'm sorry, in the two movies.
Yep.
And the second movie's future is uncertain. It's all that I was able to do.
It has to
happen.
There's
no way.
It better. Well, the first one's good. If the first one's good, it'll be fine.
What are you going to do if they don't, Marty?
Storm.
If they don't? I'm gonna storm the Warner Bros. Studios.
God damn it. Our last part of news is the Disney Star Wars and Marvel. What would you call that? Announcement or a quarter? It was like a stockbrokers meeting.
I don't remember what they call it.
But the amount of content that they're putting out in the next like couple of years, holy shit!
Yeah, it's like that would have to be like a short episode that we would do
about the whole thing.
I mean,
yeah,
they have Obi-Wan Kenobi,
the Ahsoka show, Bad Batch. Yeah. Oh my god. The Star Wars stuff is what I was like, what my mind went to first, because that was what I first saw. But then I looked at the Marvel stuff and I was like, oh my god, okay, like we're set.
Yeah.
You know, the Loki trailer.
Yeah,
looks
that looks
so
really
cool.
Oh, and they have like the first reactions to WandaVision coming out from critics and stuff, and it is apparently awesome.
Okay,
like the first three episodes are apparently really trippy and really cool. January 15th can't come.
I'm very excited.
I'm confused with the point. Actually, I'm confused with the point of WandaVision is. What's up with WandaVision?
Nobody knows. It's supposed to be a sitcom. That's like apparently a sitcom, but more, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no
explanation. Are they, like, trapped in, like, a different reality where, like, they're, like...
There's a lot of different theories. There's a theory that this is all in Wanda's head, and she is, like, it's like someone's controlling her, and she's in, like, some kind of slumber, and she's, like, created different, like, realities in her head. There's, like, all kinds of, like... That's, like, the main theory that I hear, but, like, until it comes out, like, there's no way to know.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. And a lot of the reviews said that they took a really, really big swing in doing this, like, and it pays off, which is always exciting to hear because it's probably something pretty new and interesting. Yeah.
Which is needed in Marvel, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially with the, like, especially, I mean, it's not a movie, so I guess it's, like, moving on from there, but yeah. So before we get into our content, our drink that we're drinking today is, it's called a penicillin.
Next week is NyQuil.
Yes.
It's not actually the medicine penicillin, I promise. It's so this is a very scotchy drink. It's 2 ounces of blended scotch, 1/4 ounce of lemon juice, 3/4 ounce of ginger honey syrup. Shake that all up in a shaker with ice, pour it into a glass and strain and pour into a glass, and then you top it with some Islay peaty scotch. It's very, very, I really like it. I don't know how you are.
It's good. Yeah. I think, if you're making it at home, I think be a little light-handed with the lemon juice. I put too much lemon juice in mine, and it's, like, too tangy. It almost tastes like a scotch, like, sour. It's good. So I think I'm going to go make another one here at our next break, and I'm just going to do a little bit less lemon juice because the ginger tastes awesome. It, like, mixed in with the smokiness of the scotch and everything. So
I am not a fan of peaty flavor. I don't like the aftertaste of peat.
Oh, I love it.
Fucking Kiefer Sutherland over here.
So highbrow. Yeah. I don't want the peat. It's too much earth for me.
Before we get into our content, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Yee-wee! This is your friendly neighborhood bounty hunter's guild. Here taking care of all your bounty hunter needs. Smuggler owe you money? We got him. Force-sensitive child needs capturing? Give us a call. Bounty Hunters, it's all about the credits.
So today, before we get into the Mandalorians and their history and their culture, I got to tell you about this special new drink. I think it's like a COVID special. Like, I think they put it out to, like, kind of, like, you know, like, hey, here's something special.
It seems like something to pass the time with.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's very good. It's called Jameson, Irish whiskey.
It might be a Christmas special. The bottle is green and red.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so it might just be for Christmas.
Yeah, I could see that.
I wonder if it'll be a Christmas special every year.
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too. It's good.
It is. I mean, yeah, we had a shot before, and we're gonna have another one now, because it's nice. Delicious.
It's triple distilled.
Yeah.
Like, 3 times they distill this.
Is it triple distilled?
That's what the bottle says.
Really?
Okay, but I've heard that triple distilled is just, like, a bullshit thing.
I think it's a bullshit. I think it's some bullshit that they tell us that, like, it sounds good, but it doesn't really mean anything.
I don't know. The taste seems to come through with Jameson, you said it was?
Yeah, Jameson.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think it might be one of those things, like, maybe, like, all Irish whiskey is triple distilled, like, and it's just not that big of a deal.
It's like in Mad Men when they say the cigarettes are toasted, but all cigarettes are toasted.
Right. Or, like beers will, like, describe lagers as, like, cold brewed, like Coors, for example. But all lager, by definition, has to be brewed cold.
It really is a great marketing ploy.
It is. Well, it's also, like, when Crappier does, like, a triple IPA. Like, that's the same thing as, like, an Imperial IPA or a double IPA, really.
I don't really know what difference between Imperial IPA and double and triple, like, I mean, guys, double and triple, I can figure that out. But, like, Imperial and double, I don't know what the difference in that style really is. I don't know if Imperial is
From what I understand, they're pretty much the same thing.
I feel like we're
getting off the same shit.
We are getting off
first
topic.
First off, we discovered a brand new whiskey delicious. This is right. You guys are talking about beer? About beer?
Well, Jameson was the one who brought it up first with triple distilled.
You're talking about beer.
You're right.
Sorry, Kiefer.
Stop calling me Kiefer.
Kiefer.
All right, let's try out this whiskey.
That's your name. All right, cheers, y'all.
Cheers. Happy Mandalorian.
Cheers. Shot.
Awesome.
I knew a guy named Kiefer.
Do you really know a guy named Kiefer?
That was his first name. I think he's still alive. That is his first name.
Huh. Do you think he's still alive?
Call him up.
I think probably. I mean, I haven't talked to him since high school, but I'm pretty sure he's still.
I would hope so.
Do you think he graduated?
Yeah, he graduated. He was a lot of fun. Kiefer, he lived on K Street, which he always reminded us was K for Kiefer. So that's why I never forgot.
Wow. It's crazy. Huh. He had a whole street named after him.
Yeah.
Well.
He supposedly could suck his own penis.
He what?
Supposedly could suck his own penis.
Oh!
Yeah.
I mean,
it was something that people like said he could do. I've never seen it, but other people claim to have seen him do it.
So, wait, he showed people he could do it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Huh.
I mean, yeah.
So the story goes.
You can't just tell people, I guess.
I mean, you can try to get him on here as a guest.
So you can talk about his penis sucking skills. So today we are talking about The Mandalorians.
So beyond just the show, The Mandalorian.
Yeah, so we're... Okay, so anytime that we do Star Wars content, we're always going to open it up with what version of Star Wars content, because there's Disney canon and then there's Legends canon. Legends canon is like the George Lucas universe, and then Disney canon is obviously Disney canon. Disney canon shouldn't even be a fucking thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, yeah, but it is now. Now they own it. Any future storytelling is going to be Disney canon, right?
Right, but they complained about the fact that they didn't have any books to go off, but they like did that to themselves.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
So it makes things kind of weird. We're gonna have a little bit of like. Legends content kind of sprinkled throughout this episode just because there's a lot of really cool shit. The quote that Kiefer talked about in the beginning of the episode, that is from Legends, but it's just such a cool quote that like we had to talk about it because it's really cool.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Kiefer. Oh shit, yeah, we didn't do that.
Whoa!
So we've got, my name is Sam, this is Kiefer Sutherland.
I'm Chad.
And Barty.
Not much better.
Honestly, Kiefer might be.
I'm Kiefer. I'm oh shit. No, I'm Marty.
All right, Kiefer.
I'm Marty.
Yeah. Look, it's been a while since we did a couple episodes. We're gonna miss a couple things. It's cool. We're here now. But some of the sources that we used for this episode, Wikipedia from fandom.com was where I got most of the info for this. The
Clone Wars. Can't use Wikipedia, man.
Wikipedia.
And yeah, we can.
Oh.
This isn't school.
Yeah, I'm not like submitting this for a grade.
Yeah.
I guess for ratings.
Yeah, you're right, I guess. You probably still shouldn't use Wikipedia though, right?
What?
You say you use Wikipedia like a Wookiee?
Well, Wikipedia from fandom.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not Wikipedia, yeah.
Don't be an idiot.
I don't know if that's better than Wikipedia, actually.
I don't know. Yeah. It's also made by the people, but I don't know. I trust.
I think it's good. Yeah, you know what? It's fine. We're some salt of the earth podcasters. We are of the people ourselves. And
yeah, think of us. This is the people's podcast.
We don't really know what we're talking about.
Well, speak for yourself. I know everything.
Marty, I didn't spend like 12 hours looking up Mandalorian stuff to say that I don't know what I'm talking
about. I didn't have Sam spend 12 hours looking up Mandalorian things to say I don't know what I'm talking about.
You know what? I have no defense. I submit this argument.
Yeah, you bet your ass you don't have a defense.
Damn right,
yeah.
You don't have a defense.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, guys.
You sit back down and take a sip of that drink. So, other than Wikipedia, the Clone Wars series was where we got some content. The Rebels series, and obviously The Mandalorian. Some YouTube channels that I think everyone should check out. Variant Comics, they do Star Wars stuff. They do everything. I would check them out. Star Wars Explained was very good. And then Meta Nerds Lore, They did an entire 30-minute documentary on Mandalorians, oh, which is really cool. Yeah. So with that said, let's get into some Mandalorians.
Let's dive in.
So another confusing part about the Mandalorians. We're talking about the Mandalorians who hail from Mandalore, from the Mandalore sector, and are ruled by the Mandalore. Are we following?
Okay. Not incredibly creative with their names.
It's like when a band names an album off themselves, and then they have a song off that album named after themselves.
That's actually very accurate, yeah.
So stupid.
But so they originate from the planet Mandalore, from the Mandalore sector. The reason that the Mandalorians are such a part of the Star Wars universe is because of their strategic position between Coruscant and the Outer Rim, and because they're very good at fighting. Fighting and war is the cornerstone of their culture. Anytime a Mandalorian walks into the room, everyone kind of stares because they're like, oh shit, like some real badass just walked into the room. They're like the most, like probably some of the most feared warriors in the galaxy. They're known as one of the few warriors that can actually fight the Jedi. They duel for leadership. They conquered Mandalore by defeating these massive beasts called Mythosaurs and also riding them. They're almost all, but the biggest thing that lets them down is they're always actually fighting among themselves, which is kind of a bummer. They'd probably actually be like way more of a force if they didn't always fight themselves.
Classic war culture. You want to go fight people,
and then they just get along, guys.
Well, because they like to fight.
They have their own language, the Mandoa, which it doesn't, I don't really think they speak it as much these days, but what I found interesting when I was looking up.
I've never heard it.
Neither have I. I don't think they've really spoken it that often.
Yeah, I say every time I meet a Mandalorian, it's always English.
God damn it, Cooper.
What do they call English in Star Wars universe? Is it common, like in every other sci-fi fantasy universe, or what?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard them. Because I feel like in Star Wars, they always know the other language that the other person is speaking. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. The aliens go like, and they'll just like, and they'll just like know exactly what they're saying.
And then
Obi-Wan, that was really good, Marty.
That was pretty good. What did you say?
I just want to hear my, I said, Kiefer, Chad looks like Kiefer.
It's not what you said.
You don't know.
You guys want to hear my Jawa impression?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Houdini!
That was great.
That was really good.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was perfect.
Dude, do you guys think of all the Star Wars races, I think I probably identify most with a Jawa. What do you think? That sounds about right, right? I'm talking about is like running around the desert picking up trash.
Yeah, well, like stealing people's shit.
Yeah, and trying to sell it.
You make driving, it sound like you're a garbage
around and big dump truck kind of thing.
Is that what you want to do?
Eating eggs.
I would love to be a Jawa. Yeah,
I would love to be a garbage man.
A Jawa?
No, a garbage.
Oh,
man.
Just a garbage.
Yeah,
man?
Like a straight. Oh yeah, I'm just a garbage man.
I mean, the Jawas always have those really cool, what are those called? What they drive around the desert?
Yeah, they're neat. Those big moving, like, trapezoids.
Yeah, those are cool as hell.
I don't know what they're called. They're cool. Hey, if you know what those things are called, please email us.
Wind gusts will really just knock that thing over, though.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I could see it.
They know. They know what they're doing, Chad.
Okay.
I bet your Jawas kind of party pretty hard too. Like they look like the type of people they steal during the day and the nighttime comes around, they're all blackout drunk.
And they just are hungover stealing shit in the morning.
Yeah, they seem like that.
Yeah, Marty, though, you do kind of seem like a Jawa, yeah.
Yeah, I told you.
But going back to the Mandalorians, so the Mandalorians are actually made up of houses and clans. So kind of picture, it's similar to kind of Game of Thrones, where there is the Mandalore sector and there's a bunch of different houses and clans. They have like their own leaders and their own like kind of tribes. So it's very Games of Thronesy. sorry for that.
Games of Thrones.
It's quite Games of Thronesy.
The
Games of Thrones.
God damn it. the Mandalore, which is M-A-N-D-A apostrophe.
Wait. Hold up. What do you call it when these clans fight with each other?
What?
Do they have a name for it?
Mandalore.
Yeah, Mandalore.
God damn it.
Have there ever been any Mandalores in the canon?
Yeah, there's a lot of Mandalores.
Hold on.
There's clans and they're bickering. They have to be fighting.
They're always fighting each other. There's always like a
so they're having Mandalores.
You think that Star Wars would have figured that out? I think they probably didn't do Mandalores. They probably didn't do Mandalores because they have a Mandalore from Mandalore in the Mandalore section.
Participating in the Mandalore.
The Mandalores. We'll call that. That's
a good show. I would watch that show.
The Mandalores.
You should write in.
So, during Mandalores, occasionally the Mandalorians would come across foundlings. These were children that were adopted by the Mandalorians.
Grogu
is one of them. Din Djarin was also one of them. Basically, like, that's part of their creed. So if they see a child in need, they take them in and they adopt them. Once they're old enough, the kid can either stay with them and become a Mandalorian, or they can leave. They don't have to stay. But the Mandalorians have to protect the child until they're of age. That is part of their creed.
Grogu. Wait, hold up.
Yeah.
Say that all over again.
So the Mandalorians, when they're like around, so they conquer a bunch of places. They fight a lot of people. They run into some kids sometimes. And these kids don't have parents. And when there's a kid that needs help, the Mandalorians, by their creed, they have to adopt these children. And these children are called siblings.
Was that determined, like, was that part of the lore determined before The Mandalorian was a show? Or did they make that up after the baby to explain?
It's a part of Mandalore. God
damn. Yeah. So right, was that in The Mandalore? For the show?
I'm not 100% sure when it came around. I think that the foundling thing was created during the show, though, if I was going to guess. But I'm not positive about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool.
For the Mandalorians, their armor is like, you know, what they're known for. The T-shaped helmet, the Beskar armor, which we'll definitely get into. Mandalorian iron, it's durable enough to handle blasters and lightsabers, as we saw in the current Mandalorian season. Throughout the history of Mandalorians, I'll get into it later, but Beskar kind of goes away, so most of the armor you see Mandalorians wearing, it's like welded with Beskar and other armors, which is why it can't defeat lightsabers in the future.
Beskar was probably one of my favorite parts of the Mandalorians, was really learning about their armor.
That fucking spear?
Yeah, that spear is really cool.
Yeah, thank you, Oberyn Martell.
Hell yeah.
And then they also, with their armor, they had anti-Jedi tools, which again, we'll get into in a little bit. They're also, something that's not known about Mandalorians is they're actually very artistic. They create pretty much any battle or war they've ever had, there's a mural or statue about it. A lot of Mandalorians like to actually customize their armor. They actually also have their own type of art, Mandalorian Cubism, which Cubism is like what Picasso does, but it's like Mandalorians do it.
So do you think Picasso got it from Mandalorians, or did Mandalorians get it from Picasso?
Well, in a galaxy far, far away, I feel like Picasso got it from the Mandalorians.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Does there exist out there, you think, like fan art of like Mandalorian Cubism?
Probably.
Oh, 100%. I know for a fact because I saw it.
Yeah, so this guy Picasso, like when he started doing art, it was mainly based off Mandalore.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's entirely Mandalore.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So the beginning of the Mandalorians. So the stuff that I'm going to go through right now, the very beginning of Mandalorians, this is coming from the legend side of things. So this is not Disney canon yet. It's somewhat, but it's not 100% confirmed. a man named Mandalore the First, a.k.a. Tosolik Mandalore in Mandoa. They originally a species called the Tongs, and they actually came from Coruscant, which we know as the where the Jedi Temple is located and the Republic is located. They actually fought the Zell 13 human tribes from Coruscant, and they were defeated by them, so they had to leave and then find somewhere else to go. Once they left, they found Mandalore. They conquered the planet, and they named it after Mandalore the First, hence why the planet is called Mandalore.
Shocking.
Yes. Hence.
So the Mandalorians, like, human?
So the Mandalorians are not a species or a race. They're, it's a creed.
Like, someone didn't listen to the quote at the beginning.
So it's like an ethnic, like, so like they're human, like their biological species is like, I don't, like, I don't know if human really exists in Star Wars, but like
human does exist. Yeah, human exists. Okay. So the Mandalorians aren't made up. So the current modern Mandalorians are mostly, excuse me, human. But the way that the Mandalorians worked is, so I'll just jump into it right now. When after they discovered Mandalore, they went on the Crusades, which is basically them waging war around other worlds around them. And when they went to these other worlds, they adopted other people to their creed. So like different races, different species, just all kinds of people joined the Mandalorians. So there wasn't one race, which is why the Mandalorians are kind of interesting, where there are people, but they're not a specific, like, biological people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
cool.
So yeah, so they went around and they created the Mandalore sector this way. So you have the planet Mandalore, and then the Mandalore sector is where they kind of went on a conquest and they took over all these different planets and all these different people. But as we've known from even just our own history, the more you expand, the more you go to places, eventually you're going to run into some opposition, some stronger opposition. And the expansion
led to... Nice segue. All right, what are we going to talk about next?
Oh, we're going to talk about the Mandalorians running into the Old Republic and the Jedi.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
This shit's pretty cool. This is when the Mandalorians that we know today become the Mandalorians that we know today. I don't know.
Okay, nice.
So,
wait, like today it's the Mandalorians that we know?
Today.
Okay. Not yesterday's Mandalorians.
Today's Mandalorians.
Today's Mandalorians.
So when the Mandalorians came upon the Republic, the Old Republic? Yeah, the Old Republic, and the Jedi, they were actually really surprised by the Jedi. Some of them thought they were like wizards and witches who just had these crazy abilities. And the Jedi's like pretty easily handled the Mandalorians. But from what we'll see in the through this entire podcast, the Mandalorians are very adaptable, and they actually developed not only new technologies to fight the Jedi, such as jetpacks, magnetized boots, armed gauntlets that could actually like mirror a force push, but they also developed an entire fighting style to go along with their new
tech. They also had tactical displays that they developed.
Chad is reading the outline.
He skipped one.
The tactical displays were also a part of Mandalorian. God damn it.
Mandalorian.
But so the Mandalorians, when they created this technology, they were able to fight the Jedi better, which is now why these days they're actually like some of the most feared fighters in the galaxy, because they can actually handle a fight.
Those days.
Yeah. But they also hold a grudge very strongly, as we saw. Even Din Djarin, who didn't even know that there was a Jedi war between the Mandalorians, as soon as he heard about it, he was like, I don't want to fucking meet them.
Yeah, he had issues with that.
Yeah, which he didn't even know about. So Mandalorians are good at holding grudges. But during this time, so the timeline right now really fucked me up a little bit. I looked at so many different timelines, and finding timelines gets very confusing on the internet. And I saw one part that said that the thing I'm about to talk about happened after the Jedi War. And then I saw something that happened during, so I'm just going to say, act like that it happened during the Jedi Wars. The Jedi Wars lasted thousands of years. This was not like just like a couple hundred years and it happened. And during this time, there was times of peace. And there was a man named Tar Vizsla who was the first Force-sensitive Mandalorian.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And he joined the Jedi Order as a child. And like in any Mandalorian way, he wanted to be different from the other Jedi, so he created the Darksaber. We all know about the Darksaber, right?
Yeah, if you've watched Mandalorian, or what else is it?
Rebels, yeah. Clone Wars, all of it. The Darksaber is so fucking cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
It's a really cool looking thing.
It's very, very cool. So he created the Darksaber because he wanted to be different from the Jedi. Tar Vizsla also had a lot of issues with the Jedi and their code, like we've seen a lot throughout the Star Wars year with Anakin Skywalker, Luke Skywalker a little bit, Ahsoka. We've seen some people have issues with the Jedi, and Tar Vizza was one of those people. At one point, he decides to actually leave the Jedi, and he goes and rules Mandalore, and that's why the Darksaber becomes this symbol of leadership, not only for his clan, Clan Vizsla, but for all Mandalorians. Once he dies, the Darksaber actually gets returned to the Jedi Temple until the fall of the Republic, where House Vizsla, his house, actually steals the Darksaber back.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which the fall of the Republic is also another. There's a lot of things that we're going to talk about today that we can't get into too deep that we'll get to in future episodes. Like the fall of the Republic. Oh, man. Woo, baby. It's so good.
I know it's kind of impossible for someone to think about all this, like when first creating it. But if George Lucas would have had all of this planned from the beginning, like I feel like Star Wars and the universe in general would be such a different like series.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be insanely different. It gives me anxiety thinking about that person's brain.
Oh yeah.
Like I hope he's like happy with how it's turning out.
He could not.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's yeah.
I mean, he's he making happy. Money, but like obviously he's like, yeah, I got my money, but like when you someone's just messing with like
the
something
sequels,
that you
he
created,
could not have been that happy with.
Oh no, not at all. No, not even Disney is happy with the sequels. So yeah.
I mean, if you like make something like as good and as influential as like just the original trilogy, I feel like you can rest pretty happily the rest
yeah,
of the rest.
Yeah, that's true. But that's it would true. Bug me to my core to know that someone kind of, like, even if I sold it to other people and they made more stuff and it sucked, like, that would really bug me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just tough. I mean, like, to take something that's, like, so good and beloved and, like, keep it going.
Yeah. Make and it not, happen. Not like George Lucas really succeeded in prequels either.
Right.
I mean, he was part of all that.
Oh, man, yeah.
I don't think he really expected Star Wars to go past A New Hope.
No, yeah.
I think that A New Hope happened and he was like, I can't believe this movie's even a movie. And like, and then it became, you know, now it's like pretty much a cornerstone of our culture at this point. But yeah, it's, I think there's probably some frustrations, but he's also like, it's bigger than I thought it would be. So,
yeah.
So after Tar Vizsla and his experiences with the Darksaber and after he died, the final battle with the Jedi happened on Mandalore itself. And this is called the Mandalorian Cataclysm, or in legends, the Mandalorian Excision, or in Mandoa, Drauhan, meaning annihilation.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
No, this was not good. Mandalore has always been in civil war. So if there's periods in time that we're talking about right now where there's a gap, they're in a civil war most likely. So the planet of Mandalore had been just like devastated by war for thousands of years. And then this particular war where the Republic and the Jedi were attacking it, they devastated the planet so bad that the entire planet became a white desert, defeating the Mandalorians in the process. A bunch of houses and clans decided to leave the planet because it was uninhabitable. And then other Mandalorians decided to create dome cities, which is what we see in Mandalorian in the Clone Wars. And that's the only way that they were actually able to live on Mandalore.
They like create their own atmosphere and domes and
basically,
stuff.
Basically, yeah. Because the entire planet got wiped out. What we're going to see from the Mandalorians, it's actually like really tragic. The Mandalorians have a pretty like tough
sad
time.
Story.
Yeah, they kind of do it to themselves a lot.
It sounds like they're gonna fuck themselves.
Yeah,
over.
Like it's their culture is just very, you know, worry and Manda worry.
Sam, come on.
But with the creation of these dome cities, the capital city Sundari is created. Around 1,000 years go by. The Mandalore is just kind of trying to build themselves up. Planets in the Mandalore sector are doing their own thing. And we come to the civil war, one of the many civil wars, but one of the main civil wars where there's a new kind of idea coming around about being peaceful. The peaceful new Mandalorians are coming out and they're like, hey, like, let's just be cool and let's not fight each other.
Was that their actual speech?
What a bunch of little bitches.
Well, Monty, funny you say that. There was a warrior clans that actually felt exactly how you felt. So
yeah.
We get the civil war between the new Mandalorians and the warrior clans. And the warrior clans are like, no, we fight. That's what we do. We're not going to change that. The leader of this peaceful movement is Satine Cries. She's the leader of this peaceful movement. She's like, look, we've been fighting wars for years. It's not working. Let's just start focusing on like our artistic stuff. Let's focus on the fact that we are good with trade because we have a good strategic position in the galaxy. So while this civil war is going on, the Jedi Council sends out Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi to protect Satine Kryze from bounty hunters and the warrior clans. And during this time, Obi-Wan and Satine Kryze get it on.
Oh, wait, does this take place in during episode one?
This takes place before episode one.
This isn't when Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan try to talk them into cutting them a little slack.
What are you talking about?
Wait, so is this taking place when Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi are like buddy cops going across the galaxy?
So Obi-Wan is Qui-Gon Jinn's Padawan. He's still like Obi-Wan's younger. He's still like new to the whole Jedi thing, and Qui-Gon Jinn and him have been sent to like kind of make sure that Satine Kryze doesn't die, because the rest of the galaxy is like, yeah, the Mandalorians, we don't want them fighting. Like, we'd rather have them be peaceful and be like kind of dealing with the Republic.
Okay, so this is separate from when like Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn are like going around trying to talk the Federation in, like maybe cutting them a little slack.
This is before that.
Before they got gassed?
Yeah.
I bet like having two Jedi warriors surrounding Satine Kryze was kind of like a bad look for the Mandalorians, like the peaceful Mandalorians. I bet though, like, people who were their enemies probably hated them using Jedi warriors.
I found me and Qui-Gon Jinn to talk the Federation into turning them up.
It's weird out. No, but I know I kind of get what you're saying. Like, I could see them having issues with that, but I think a lot of Mandalore also wanted to stop fighting as well. Like, I think that there was a lot
they
of...
They locked that. The doors, they tried to kill us. you guys ever know the Weird Al song about Star Wars?
No.
Yeah, I've definitely
heard what? It. What? Never heard the Weird Al... Oh, man.
Yankovic did a whole song about it.
Can we fit it into this episode? Can we play it right now?
I mean, you're already doing it.
I don't even know if we are legally allowed to put that in the episode. You sing. Let's not go there, Ryan. If there's anybody I'm trying to fuck with, it's not Weird Al. I don't want him to get mad at us.
All right, you're right.
He wants us, and then he wants to come on the show.
No, if he really likes us, I want to have him on the show, but I want him the first person who tells us, like, since he's a cis, like,
This is all I'm going to say. Listen, what else is all I'm going to say? If our fans listening to this episode, if they're Star Wars fans, they probably already know this song. If they don't, or if they're not Star Wars fans, or if they're just hanging out, check out The Saga Begins by Weird Al Yankovic.
I'll post it on Liquor and Lore's social media.
It's a summation in musical form, set to the tune of American Pie. About it literally summarizes the whole episode one fan.
Bye, this here Anakin guy, maybe.
Yeah, it says, bye, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader someday later. Now he's just a small
fry. Okay, but we gotta get back to the Mandalorian, right?
Okay.
So during this time.
He left his home and kissed his mama goodbye, saying, soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
So anyways.
Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
So eventually the new Mandalorians are able to defeat the warrior clans. Satine Kryze becomes the Duchess of Mandalore. The warrior clans are exiled to Concordia, which is a mining moon in the Mandalore sector. And then the old Mandalorians, which is a completely different group, they're like, you know what? I'm done with this shit. I'm just gonna go become a bounty hunter and a mercenary. Which, if I'm not mistaken, makes them the first like bounty hunters and mercenaries of the Mandalorian culture. Oh. But during this time, Mandalore does really, really well. Their art is doing really well. There's some trading going on. Satine Kryze establishes a ruling council to help her rule Mandalore. And they also join the Galactic Republic, and they're involved in the Senate. So things are going really well until the Clone Wars.
Oh.
And we're going to jump into the Clone Wars after a break.
Nice. I have to pee.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Mandawar Art. We have the most sought-after pieces in the galaxy, such as the Jedi Wars, made with real Mandalorian blood, or Civil Wars 1, 2, and 3, made with real Mandalorian blood. So come on down to the Mandalore Sector and get the best Mandalorian cubism credits can buy.
That was Marty on the Mandalore. Oh, sorry, Mandolin.
God damn it, the Mandolin. welcome back from a break. We're going to take another shot of Jameson before continuing the episode.
Crack open that bottle.
Let's do it.
I'm supposed to watch home movies with my mom after this episode, and I'm going to be drunk.
Hey, man, you can watch home movies when you're drunk. You know what's a home movie?
Can we get your mom on here? Can we interview her?
No.
Oh.
I mean, it just doesn't seem like the right time. Maybe in the future.
We'll get some moms on here.
My mom will not be on here. Thank you very much.
Mom-cast.
The Momcast. So good.
Gotta love it.
Really good.
So coming back to the Mandalorians, we're at the Clone Wars. As we know, the Clone Wars is a pretty big deal in the Star Wars universe. The Fall of the Jedi. Nice. And we'll also see somewhat the fall of the Mandalorians. So when the Clone Wars begin, Satine Kryze is like pushing the whole peace thing, and she claims neutrality, even creating the she's also the leader of the Council of Neutral Systems. But during this time, what she doesn't know is there's been a group of people called the Death Watch that are building their forces to eventually take Mandalore back and bring back the fighting ways. The leader of this group is Pre Vizsla, who is a descendant of Tar Vizsla, the first Force-sensitive Mandalorian. He's the governor of Concordia, the mining moon, and he is the current wielder of the Darksaber. The old warrior clans are like getting with him. They're like, let's bring the warrior way back. And he actually makes a deal with Count Dooku and the Confederacy to get Mandalore involved in the current Clone Wars. Along with him is Bo-Katan Kryze, who we meet in this current season of The Mandalorian.
Which one's Bo-Katan?
She's the redheaded one.
Oh, yeah.
She's so fucking cool.
Yeah, but that was also a really cool character.
She also has such a time, though, but we'll get to that. So their plan is basically that they want the Republic to intervene in Mandalorian stuff. So the Death Watch comes out and they start performing terrorist attacks around Mandalorian in kind of like they're working with separatists because they want the Republic to get in there so the warrior way of life can come in and they can be heroes. Before this is able to happen, the plot gets discovered by Satine Kryze and Obi-Wan, who they meet back together since they like got it. And the Death Watch flees and they're just kind of out in space. So that's the beginning of the Clone Wars for the Mandalorians.
Wait, who did Obi-Wan have it with?
Satine Kryze.
Duchess. Yeah.
They got it with. They did it.
They did what?
They did SpaceX.
Oh, was it SpaceX?
I don't know. It'll get sadder. Just wait.
Oh, no.
So that brings us to a fan favorite character of the entire Star Wars saga, Darth Maul.
So, I like to call him Spiky Head Boy.
That works too.
Okay.
Spiky Head, Kiefer Sutherland. So the Death Watch, they're out on this planet called Karlak. They're just kind of like figuring out what their next move is. They want revenge on everybody. They want revenge on the Separatists. They want revenge on Count Dooku. They want revenge on the Siths. But then they come along Darth Maul and his brother Savage Opress, and they're found stranded in space. They take them aboard their ship and they get to talking, and then both of them are like, Pre Vizsla's like, wait, you hate Obi-Wan and Satine Kryze? Darth Maul's like, I don't know who Satine Kryze is, but I fucking hate that Obi-Wan guy. And they are having a great time. They actually legitimately drink tea together and talk shit about how much they hate these teams. So they decide to make a little deal with each other. Maul wants to create a criminal underground, and he wants to use Mandalore as kind of the catalyst for that. While Pre Vizsla, he just wants Mandalore to go back to its like fighting ways. So they go around the whole galaxy. They recruit a bunch of different criminal enterprises, the Black Suns, the Pike Syndicate, and the Grand Hutt Council. And they create the Shadow Collective. And they come up with a plan. The Shadow Collective is going to attack Mandalore, and the Death Watch is going to come in and defeat the Shadow Collective and look like heroes and undermine Satine Kryze's leadership.
How does a plan like that work? Like, are you sending in troops just to die?
Basically.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. But we're talking about Darth Maul here.
Yeah, it's still sad.
Yeah. And Pre Vizsla doesn't give much of a shit. I do kind of feel bad for him, though. He's got some redeeming qualities that I feel like get lost. But this plan actually works. The Death Watch takes over. They take Satine Kryze and they put her in a jail. And then when this happens, Pre Vizsla decides to try to double cross Maul. Because in his head, he's like, I have Mandalore. I don't need anything else. And he tries to kill Maul. But Maul is a Sith Lord and kills Pre Vizsla and takes the Darksaber for himself.
Oh, shit.
Now, when this happened, all hell breaks loose. Bo-Katan's like, no, we can't follow someone who isn't a Mandalore. And she has to flee because Maul and his now super commandos, who are loyal to him, are like, no, fuck this. Like, we're leaving. So now the Death Watch is split. You've got Mandalorian super commandos that have red painted armor that are with Darth Maul. And he has his puppet, Almec, who is kind of the guy who's going to run the show in Maul's name. And then you've got Bo-Katan's Mandalore resistance. So when all of this is happening, Satine, who is in prison, kind of breaks out of prison. She gets a message off to Obi-Wan and she's like, we need your help. You got to come here. But unfortunately, due to political reasons, the Jedi can't intervene. But Obi-Wan says, fuck that. I'm going to come anyways. Unfortunately.
So he kind of pulled an Anakin.
He did pull an Anakin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Darth Maul wants Obi-Wan to come. He knows that Satine Kryze has this kind of like bond with him. He wants Obi-Wan to come. So when Obi-Wan comes to investigate, he gets captured by Maul. And unfortunately, during this time, Maul kills Satine Kryze in front of Obi-Wan.
Oh, that's sad.
It's really sad.
Damn. And
the saddest part, like all about it, is like before this whole thing happened, at one point, Obi-Wan says to Satine Kryze that he would have left the Jedi Order if she would have asked to come and be with her.
Damn.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan.
I know, man.
I guess that kind of explains a lot of like empathy he had for Anakin and Padme.
Right. Obi-Wan, I think that's something that like they bring it. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been on the prequel, the Star Wars prequel memes Reddit.
Yeah.
But they love Obi-Wan, and it comes up all the time how like Obi-Wan has had a very tragic life, but never turned to the dark side, and like he really has like had a really tough life.
I'm so excited for that series.
Oh, I can't wait. It's gonna be so good. I can't wait to see him fight Darth Maul. Hopefully.
Hopefully,
we'll see. But so after this investigation. Like, he sees Satine die. Bo-Katan actually breaks him out of jail, and they get him out of there. And then Bo-Katan and Obi-Wan try to get help from the Jedi and the Republic, but the Jedi and Republic are like, we don't have any reason to be there, so politically we can't go there.
So, quick question.
Yeah.
Oh, timeline-wise.
Yeah.
Bo-Katan's in The Mandalorian, right?
Yes.
But The Mandalorian, doesn't that take place after the original...
Yes. It works.
Wouldn't he be old as hell, though?
Who, Bo-Katan?
Well, no, Bo-Katan, wouldn't she be old as hell? Like, if Obi-Wan, he was old as shit in the original ones.
Well, so but at this point, he's like, he's not old, but he's like, what, like, oldish?
Right, but in the, at this point?
But this is the Clone Wars, so this is after episode 2.
But he's not, like, old. He's like not 30. Old,
right. But like, Bo-Katan is not old here either.
But yeah, but in The Mandalorian, she's young.
She's not young in The Mandalorian.
She's not 80.
She's not supposed to... I know, but okay, but think about that. Okay, so think about like... Obi-Wan's probably like, what, we could say like 35, 40 years old during the Clone Wars?
Sure.
Right? So Bo-Katan is like 20.
Okay.
Okay? So then we're going forward to like a little bit further, what, like 20 years?
I guess. I don't know. He's still pretty old fine. In the original.
She would still be around. Okay. Well, look, I have the time right here. So we've got, you know, we're not going to.
I was like, we can talk about this in the next episode.
So then this brings us like the whole Clone Wars is happening. And then finally we get to the Siege of Mandalore, which I don't know if you guys have watched the Clone Wars episodes. I don't think you have, but the last four of them are like some of the best television I've ever watched. Bo-Katan Bo-Katan, with the help of Ahsoka Tano, which is another character we just met in The Mandalorian, and she's probably the top three, one of the best characters of Star Wars. I'm just going to throw that out there.
She was awesome in The Mandalorian.
She's so fucking cool. Oh my god. But they actually convince the Republic to help them defeat Maul. During this time, Maul has been very busy. He took the Darksaber to his home planet of Dathomir. He's gotten in fights with the Sith Lords. He's made it back here. There's a lot we'll go into in a Darth Maul episode. So they get a hold of some of the Republic forces, and they go ahead and the Siege of Mandalore happens. Maul also planned for this to happen, but he was hoping that Obi-Wan would come and not Ahsoka. Maul is captured after Ahsoka defeats him, and Bo-Katan is named the Regent Lord of Mandalore. So things look really, really good right now.
Oh, so she was pretty in charge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's the sister of the Duchess, so she was like the normal person to be in command. But then Order 66 happens.
Shit.
The Empire moves in to occupy Mandalore. The night of a Thousand Tears happens, where gunships come and they just attack fields of Mandalorian recruits. So these are people who are like recruited to the Mandalorians. They're going to become soldiers, and they're just absolutely murdered. Bo-Katan, who is the current leader of Mandalore, refuses to serve the Empire, but is betrayed by Clan Saxon, another Mandalorian clan. She has to flee, and Garth Saxon becomes the Viceroy of Mandalore. Kiefer? So here, an Imperial Academy gets established. They absolutely outlaw Mandalorian mercenary practices. So like any bounty hunters, they just can't work as bounty hunters. And then there's even some Mandalorians who were paid for loyalty, and they also stayed to train in Empire forces. Mm-hmm. So like, it was kind of a very bad time. And then also at this time, this is when Din Djarin is rescued by the Death Watch.
Otherwise known as Mando.
And he is actually taken in as a foundling. And that brings us to the Age of the Empire.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, the Age of the Empire is in Rebel Star
Wars. Oh, what do we have here?
Yeah, give us a little more jig.
Solid.
That was Marty on The Mandalorian playing, I don't even know what this is called.
The Star Wars theme song.
Yeah.
Created by John Williams.
Yeah, was that who it was?
Is that right?
John Lucas. John Williams.
Lucas. I said John Williams.
This is how.
You said John Lucas.
No, I did not say John Lucas.
This is how this podcast gets canceled. Because
hey, can we play that back?
We're not playing it.
Did I say John Lucas?
No.
Yeah, it's John Wilson.
You know what?
All right.
Okay, we gotta get back to The Mandalorian, okay?
We'll talk about it later, but you definitely said John Lucas.
No, I did not. Alright, do you want to make a bet?
Age of the Empire.
Hold on. Do you want to make a bet on air right now?
I'll bet you $10.
Alright, deal. Now okay. We move on.
We'll let you guys know how it goes in the next episode. So, Age of the Empire. So, Age of the Empire is... With the Mandalorians, we see it a lot in Rebels. We have Sabine of Clan Ren, Ezra Bridger, who is a Padawan to Kanan Jarrus, a Jedi who survived Order 66. They find the Darksaber on Dathomir, which is Maul's home planet. Sabine Wren then goes to her home planet with the Darksaber to bring her people together to fight the Empire. She defeats the Gar Saxon. Yeah, that's it.
Garth, I think.
Which brings us to another civil war. The final civil war, if I'm not mistaken. So at this time, Sabine Wren goes around, she gets some forces together, and she meets Bo-Katan Kryze. And at this time, which this is a big deal. So Bo-Katan becomes kind of the leader of the Mandalorians at this time, and Sabine actually gives her the Darksaber, which, as we saw in the Mandalorian,
she lost.
Well, Bo-Katan doesn't accept the Darksaber. Oh, yeah. So they defeat the Mandalorians, or they defeat the Empire on Mandalore, and they like take the planet back, and it looks really great. Bo-Katan's going to be the leader of Mandalore again. Everything looks awesome. Until the Great Purge happens. Again, anytime Bo-Katan kind of becomes in control, shit just goes kind of bad. So the Empire comes around and they say, fuck it. We're not going to be able to take over Mandalore. They're not going to listen to us. Like, we're just going to fucking massacre them. So Moff Gideon, which, okay, so this part right here, I'm kind of theorizing a little bit. It's not 100% confirmed, but it's kind of confirmed. Moff Gideon with a bunch of Imperial fleets comes in, and they almost make an entire genocide of the Mandalorian people. They come in and just like massacre everybody. A few people survive. Bo-Katan survives, but she loses the Darksaber, as we see Moff Gideon wields the Darksaber in the Mandalorian. The Beskar on the planet is hoarded or thrown into Imperial smelters. So it's either gotten rid of or they just like take it for themselves. And then after that day, a bunch of Mandalorians, the people who survived, they're like, fuck that planet. It's cursed. I'm never going back there.
I think it's pretty unbelievable to think that people took Beskar and just threw it away. Like, nah. Like,
right.
It's an incredible. Yeah.
It sounds like a very Empire thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I don't want your armor around. But that brings us finally to the Mandalorian.
I love the Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian.
I love it.
Oh my god, the second season was so good.
It's so good.
So, so good.
Which I guess we have to talk about right now. Like, first off,
well, hold on.
Spoilers.
Hold on.
All right.
We're going to get into the current stuff. Right. We're going to get through a few different things, and then we're going to get going. But yeah, spoiler. Probably should have said that in the beginning of the episode, but we're here now.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the show, you should tune off now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fuck off.
Or don't, and listen, and then go watch the show. I don't know what you want to do.
Oh.
So right now, after the Great Purge happens, basically the Mandalorians are completely spread across the galaxy. You got clans, you got tribes, they're all over. They're mostly bounty hunters and mercenaries. They have a severe hatred for Imperials. There is a massive hatred for Imperials. One of these tribes, which there's not a name for it, but it's just called the tribe, is hiding out on Navarro, which is where we see Mando for the first time. This is Din Djarin's tribe, aka the Mando. One of the people in this tribe is Paz Vizsla. So the guy, do you remember? So when Din completes
underground.
So do you remember when Mando kind of completes his task and he gets all that Beskar, and that one guy has like an issue with him?
Yep.
That guy is Paz Vizsla, who is a descendant of Pre Vizsla and Tar Vizsla.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
Kind of a little callback there. But these people are known as Children of the Watch. So this is like kind of a bit of a cult thing. The Children of the Watch are theorized to be foundlings of the Death Watch. So like Din Djarin. And they are all about the way of the Mandalorian. The way of the Mandalorian is you help a Mandalorian whenever it needs. You don't take off your helmet and you're always fighting. That's like kind of your whole deal. It's definitely a culty way to do things, as we see in the television show. Yeah. This is the way. It's something they're always fucking talking about.
It's creepy and cool at the same time.
Very creepy and cool at the same time. And then what we currently saw, Bo-Katan is still leading the Night Owls, and she's trying to bring Mandalore back into the fold. And now we're going to talk about the end of the Mandalorian.
Which excellent. I'm very excited about. So yeah, really, if you haven't watched the Mandalorian,
you got to get off. Now,
probably, yeah.
Yeah. So the very end of the Mandalorian, we see Grogu is captured. We've got Din Djarin, a.k.a. Mando. He's got Bo-Katan, Kryze, Cara Dune. I can't remember the woman's name that comes with Bo-Katan. What's her name?
No idea.
Shit. Sasha Banks is the wrestler. That's her name.
Oh, that's
She's
cool.
a wrestler from WWE.
Of course.
She does a DDT. She's there. And then, I can't remember the other woman's name. Whatever. So they get on the ship. They fucking throw down. Oh, my God. So good. They get to the very end, and then Din Djarin has a showdown with Moff Gideon, Darksaber versus Beskar Spear.
Which is a great fight.
It's so fucking cool.
It's so good.
And I'm sorry, but I can't not see Oberyn Martell fighting in that scene.
That's all you picture?
I mean, he's fighting with a fucking spear. Like, you can't tell me that, like, Pedro Pascal was just like, oh, I've done this before.
Yeah, if his helmet was off, yeah, it'd be really hard not to picture him.
Like, he's doing all the tricks and shit. And there's like a couple moves that he does, and I was like, yeah, we saw that.
Maybe from now on, all he does in movies is fighting with a spear.
I hope that's... If that becomes a regular thing, I'm all down.
Do you think spears are really that, like, useful? They seem difficult to fight with.
I don't know. I haven't...
No, I think if you got some range, you could...
The range would be great, but, like...
When you use it, like... I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I picked... My D&D character is basically based off of Mandalorian. I picked a spear for that exact reason, but I haven't used it. I haven't used it one time.
Right, because it would be difficult to use.
Yeah. But... What we see is they're like locked up. The Death Troopers is Dark Troopers come in. They're about to kill him, and who shows up on Red 5? Luke Skywalker.
Luke, fucking Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker shows up on Red 5, goes ham on some Dark Troopers. Shows up, and man, it's actually like a really sad scene.
It is sad. It is super sad. Yeah. Seeing Mando have to
give away his child, but it was also. Really fucking cool.
Yeah, so I was really pissed because I had that spoiled for me. I watched it the day after it came out.
Already got spoiled.
And I was looking through the fucking news, and some headline was like, "How Luke Skywalker shows up in The Mandalorian." And I was like, "What,
dude? It came out really quick." Yeah,
I was so mad because it like that was like a chills type of moment.
Well, and it's also like if you didn't know what was happening. You still were like, is that Luke Skywalker?
And I was thinking, no fucking way. They tried to.
Yeah. Well, there's other characters. Like there was Ezra Bridger, who we brought up briefly in this episode from Rebels. He also has a green lightsaber. Like I thought he might have been showing up. Like I thought it was just going to be some, but when it was Luke, I was like, oh, that's really fucking
cool. Yeah, and they made like he just like wiped out the Dark Troopers. Like they showed. The prowess of Jedi that he has become. Like, it was really cool.
Oh my god, he fucking goes through him so smooth. And people compared it to the end of Rebels with Darth Vader. Or not Rebels, the end of Rogue One with Darth Vader going through. And somebody made a video with both of them like next to each other, and I was like, oh, that's cool. It's so fucking cool. Yeah. It was very, 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 very cool. But, okay, one of the big contested things, though, about the last episode was Din Djarin wields the Darksaber.
Yep.
Now, in Mandalorian culture, to wield the Darksaber, you are supposed to win it in a duel.
Yep.
We see this throughout a lot of the things. But in Rebels, at one point, Sabine Wren does give the Darksaber to Bo-Katan. So a lot of people were like, why wouldn't she take it now, but took it back then?
Yeah.
So some people think it's a retcon. Other people have their own theories about it.
Seems like a retcon, which is fine.
I think that there's reasons behind it.
I don't know enough about the Clone Wars.
I've heard a few different things. I think that there's like there could be a couple different reasons. I think one, Bo-Katan, anytime she's come in power, she like the whole everything falls apart.
Yeah.
So like you know, for example, Ahsoka Tano defeated Darth Maul, but then she takes over his regent. Planet falls.
So maybe she's thinking like it fell apart because I didn't take it properly.
Exactly. Okay. That's kind of what I'm thinking. She's like, it's a curse. I need to take it this particular way. Or maybe it's just because there is no Mandalorian, like Mandalorian culture right now. There is no Mandalore. So she's like, if I'm going to build it back, I have to do it the right way.
That totally makes sense.
So I feel like either of those kind of like is what I'm thinking. But like at the same time, I get being like, wait, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. So, that would be a really easy thing to sell to me if they went with that route.
But yeah, that's the Mandalorians.
They are cool.
And sad.
Piece of lore.
Very cool piece of lore.
We didn't talk about Boba Fett at all, did we?
Oh, yeah. We did not talk about Boba. Well, so Boba Fett technically isn't actually a Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Jango Fett is a foundling. But Boba Fett is not technically a Mandalorian. Marty doesn't even know what we're talking about.
So I think we should do an episode. If we could get a full episode on Boba Fett sometime.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely
I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, so that's... Okay, that's the other thing when we talk about these Star Wars episodes. Well, really when we talk about any episode... I feel like when we're talking about histories and stuff like that, there's always going to be little things that we're going to need whole episodes to talk about.
And it would be fun having this episode as like a
background
for Boba Fett in general. Right.
But there's also, like, I mean, when we go through this entire episode, we got Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Maul's story during this entire thing. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on. There's just so much happening that we could be talking about. There's also the legend sides of things. We're going to talk about the Mandalorian.
But I also want to mention, like, all of this came simply from Boba Fett being in the original Star Wars and for not that long.
No, and he became a huge favorite.
Like, it's crazy how much of an impact that character has had on the future of Star Wars.
For the, like, 2 minutes that he's around.
Some cool Boba Fett stuff.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
I came across something the other day. So, like, the first time you see Boba Fett is when, like, Darth Vader has, like, his, like, line of bounty hunters set up.
Yeah.
And he's, like, talking to all of them. And then at one point, Darth Vader says, "No disintegrations," and he points at Boba Fett, implying that Boba Fett has disintegrated before. And then someone made the connection that maybe Boba Fett is the one that killed Luke's aunt and uncle and disintegrated their bodies.
Wait, but there's skeletons left over, though.
Exactly. That was the counterpoint. Is that it was not a true disintegration because the skeletons were left.
I mean, I like that theory though of him just being that guy. Either way,
it seemed though. I mean, the way those skeletons were there, like it seems like they weren't just burned. Like unless they just were.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something I came across online.
Another Boba Fett thing is we didn't even talk about the end credits of.
Oh yeah.
Which Marty, sorry, but. There's going to be a new Star Wars TV show called The Book of Boba Fett.
No.
He takes over the Hutt criminal enterprise.
So yeah, he walks into Jabba the Hutt's like...
How is he doing... So I know that the canon and the whatever comic books or whatever, I know there's material out there for Boba surviving the Sarlacc. But do they explain that in the show? Why he's still alive? Or is he just there?
I mean, he has a lot of scars and shit, so it shows that he has been through...
They show that he's fucked up, but they don't get into like the actual, like, what happened.
His armor has a lot of scars, or do you actually see his body?
No, his face is all fucked up.
Oh, you see his face?
Well, you know, remember, episode, like, one or two of this season, they show him, like, in like a black robe and you see his face and he's all fucked up.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
that's the episode.
That's it.
That's Mandalorians.
Shit.
Yeah. We're going to do another episode of Mandalorians eventually because there's so much legends.
It's hard
things.
To get it in one episode.
Oh my God. It's so hard. I mean, we're even strapped for time right now. And there is a lot of stuff that we could have gotten way more in depth with. So, but luckily, there's going to be plenty of other Mandalorian content coming out in shows and movies.
Yeah,
so.
We could probably do a whole series on just Mandalorians separately.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if our first like 3-part episode was just Mandalorians. Yeah. I would love that. They're very cool. But with that said, this is Liquor and Lore. I'm Sam. This is Kiefer Sutherland.
I'm Chad.
And
Bob. Martin. I'm Chad.
You're not Chad!
I'm Chad.
Marty, give us a tune to get on out of the episode.
Oh, hang on one moment.